CA welcome to our speaker, Richard E. from CA in Sweden. Thank you.
Told me to suck. You're scaring me. Wow, this is a big room. I like it. My name is Richard. I'm a recovered addict. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Like, CA UK has done so much to me and for my recovery during the years. I was thinking yesterday, like, when was the first time I went to CA UK? I was in Brighton 2006, and it blew my head off. It really did. And now I have the honor to coming back 10 years later to speak at this convention, Birmingham, where I attended the first World Convention outside of North America, which also blew my head away. And now I'm here. And there's so many people in this audience, in these rooms, in this hotel that helped me through to get where I am today, to be sober, happy, joyous, and free. And just as I walked up to the podium, I checked my phone to see if I was Russell was really strict. No more than 45 minutes. It's really, really important. It's a busy schedule. So I have to look at my phone, and I saw a message from my sponsor, so I was a little distracted, like, someone here. Anyway, I will try to tell you in a general way how it was, what happened to me, and how it now is. And I have been a little bit fucked up some years, so it might not be how it actually was, but it's my it's how I perceived it, and I'm going to be honest, I'm still not sure it's going to be true. If you were there, this is I'm sorry. Oh, my sobriety date is June 13, 2003. I just turned 40 years a couple of weeks ago. So I'm born in 1976. So it's a good thing. And I grew up in a small town with a mother that loved me very much. There's nothing wrong with my childhood. We had money enough. We had food enough. I had friends enough. I had people around me enough. People supporting me, wanted me to have a nice life, to be happy and all this. But I don't know what went wrong. I don't see that I ever had anything. I hear some people sharing about, I want to be like the person I was before I start using. I don't want to be that person. That sucked. Using was a solution to my problem. It was not where the problem began. Like, I have two really strong memories from my childhood. One, I always told the other person what I thought they want to hear. Like, if you asked me a question, I looked at you and I wonder what he wants me to answer now. And I answered that. The other thing I remember is that I wanted to be the best. And those were the two things that was the most important in my life. And I started school, it was no problem, I was among the best. I was an intelligent child, I understood the things, I could read, I could do the math. I was quite big at that time, I stopped growing when I was like 13, so I could fight, I was strong, everything, this was good for me. There was no problem in the beginning of my life. I stole what I needed, I didn't have any problem with that. If somebody, like, caught me, I thought, what do they want me to say now? And if I thought that you wanted me to come clean and tell you how it was, I told you, yes, I'm sorry, I stole that, I don't know why. Or I thought, it's not going to benefit me. I lied and said, no, I did not steal that. And my life was easy. It started to be more complicated when I grew older, like 12, 13, something. Coming to a new school, there's so many people, and I was not the best anymore. I was not the brightest, I was not the biggest, I was not the baddest, I was not the strongest, I was not nothing. And it started to like, what am I going to do now? And I was 13 years old, I was at a party with one of my friends, and said, it wasn't a party at the time, I'd never been drunk or anything, but that, let's have a party, let's buy some beers and bring all our friends over here and like have a party. Yeah, why not? I've never been drunk. I never tried it. I sipped a little alcohol. I sipped a little beer, but I didn't like the taste of it. But this time, I didn't sip it. I drank it. And Richard yesterday described it so good, like the warmth in your body, the happiness is pouring down, the smile coming up on my face, and I like this. And then I thought, I want more. So I took one more, and another one, and another one, and another one, and I liked it more and more and more and more, and suddenly I felt really sick. And I started to puke all over the place. Everywhere. I couldn't stop. I puked for like 6-7 hours straight, just laying there in the bed like puking, wondering what went wrong. It was so nice, and now it's not so nice, but it's still nice in some way. I had to puke a little bit more, but it's still nice. I'm puking, it's nice. And this might sound like a lie to you, but a girl went down in the bed with me and had my first sexual experience between the pukes. And I was like, fuck me. I'm on to something here. Still, it was not like crystal clear that this was a solution. It was like, I need to master this, you know. I didn't like the puking so much, but I liked the experience. I liked the girl. And I liked, yeah, you understand. You just got to figure this shit out. So it began. drinking this, like, always trying to get this perfect balance of feeling in control, not caring, being the best, don't care if they don't think I'm the best. And like, it's hard, you know. You have different kinds of liquors, you have different times. Sometimes you're outdoors and you have to drink faster because it's cold. I'm from Sweden, it's cold in the winter. You have to drink fast and you can drink hard liquor to get warm. Or even inside, you have some more time on yourself. You know, it's difficult to get this in the right mood. But I tried really hard. And as I was doing this, I was not paying attention to school anymore because I didn't need it anymore. And I couldn't be the best in school, so I had to be best in something else. I started to steal, I started to rob, I started to fight people, I started to do all kinds of these things. And I thought people respected me for it because everybody knew who I was and everybody was saying, "Hi, Richard, how are you?" Oh, that's good, man. And the police was pulling over on the streets like, "Hi, Richard, how are you today?" "Oh, good, thank you for asking." Even the police wants to be my friend, you know? It's not such a big city. So it's okay. And I was 15, I moved from the small city back down to Stockholm, the big city. And I was not the baddest guy either anymore. Like, I was not the best in school, I could not fight with these guys because it was way worse than me. They did harder crimes than me. They did everything other than me. So the only thing left was the alcohol. But it was okay. I had the alcohol. I was continuing drinking. Started working in the restaurant. I tried different things. Like, I was 16 years old, went down to Spain, tried smoking for the first time, some weed. I was down at the beach after the disco had closed. Some Spanish guy was always there smoking, and I told my friend, like, "Okay, I'm gonna smoke, you're not gonna smoke, we have to, one at a time." And I asked them for, like, "Can I have some?" And they rolled me something, and something big, and I take it easy. They had to be nice to me, you know, the stupid Swede, they wanted to make a good thing for me. So I took that, and I see in the movies, you do it like this when you smoke, like, and then you hold it as long as you can. Still holding. And then you continue until it's done because, yeah. And I thought, this is nice. Like 30 minutes later, I was laying in the middle of the streets, like, with a big pipe. It felt like the. I told my friend, "I can't get any air. There's no air here." I was laying there in the middle of the street. I couldn't even move. Get me some water or anything. You might want to try to don't take such a big breath, you know. Like, and I thought, I have to work on that a little bit. And I tried other things. I tried this downers, benzodiazepines, whatever you call them. I was in a working at the restaurant, we're on like company trip, we're going out to the north skiing, and I was in the bus, I had my vodka and had everything, the party was going. My friend like, have you ever tried this? Rupees, whatever they call it? I know. When you want to? Yeah. How much do you want? I don't know. You want two? Yeah, sure. Took these two. I have a vague memory of going into a restaurant on the way up there, and then I woke up like this. I looked down at my table, I saw like two sandwiches, glass of juice, some coffee, and I looked up and it was a full room, like people, restaurant, people eating breakfast. I looked out the window, it was really much, it's really snowy there. Like the last thing I remember, I was down in the south, there was no fucking snow there. I looked at the guy sitting at my table, it was like three of my friends, and they like, blah, 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 blah. Like, and somebody was looking at me like, they were expecting me to answer a question. And I was like, excuse me, can you just repeat the question? And it's like, I mean, this is kind of strange. Didn't really go the way I supposed it would go, but I handled the situation. I didn't tell anybody what happened, and I kept my form up and the mask up, and I said, yeah, let's go skiing. And I thought, this will take some work as well. That's not my solution. When I was 24 years old, I had a girlfriend, I had a job, I thought I was rich, I always had money in my pocket. I always spent all my money the same night, but I was a waiter, so I got some tips. I always had new money the day after, and I was rich again, I spent it all on drugs. But life was easy, and I thought, yeah, this is it. And I was at the restaurant again. I was out drinking 4 to 5 times every week. And I was at the restaurant and some guy came up and said, you want to try some amphetamines? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? So we bought a gram, three of us, and we went into like, it's really cool and classy having drugs. And we went into this shitty toilet, too small. We sat down on your knees there in the piss. I had not even started using drugs, you know. Wipe off this toilet thing a little fast and okay, how do you do that? And the guy like, I think we just split it in three, you know? 1, 2, 3 and we take it. And, okay. And then poof. Like, you know the feeling of directly I was like, woo, this is something different. And I went out to the bar with my eyes up like this and I was jumping around like, and I talked so fast, you couldn't imagine, like, and some friend came out to me, like, you might want to, like, lower this down a little bit. And I was like, no, 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 no. Some other friends come, let's go home instead. It's not good for you to be in this place. People are watching. Like, yeah, sure, we can do that. And I was jumping around. And I was so happy. And I knew, like, this is the fucking solution. Then I blacked out. I don't remember anything more. It was like 11 in the evening and I woke up in the back seat of a car like the day after around 12 noon-ish. The sun was up, we were running, going around with the car and my two friends up in the front. And I looked in the back mirror and I saw the faces and like, what are we doing? I asked them like, and they were like, had this looking back at me like, why are you acting so strange? You've been so fucked up. You've been running around. You tried to kiss me. You tried to fuck my television. Yeah, you're laughing. But I knew. This is the solution. And I don't know if that makes me different from anybody else. But I knew that this is the solution to my problems. Just a couple of weeks later of some trying this amphetamine, I find cocaine. And it was like, the same thing. But now I was God as well. Like, and I was the best in the room. Like, there was no doubt about it. Like, in this room, I'm just standing there like, yeah, I'm the best. And it was what I saw, like, looking for the whole life, you know. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the best. And in my quest, that was to change my friends. Because as soon as my friends were better than me, I'm like, okay, fuck you. And I go to some other ones. you can imagine my friends, if a guy that thinks being blacked out fucking a TV is the solution to his problem, if he's going to feel best in the room, the other guys have to be really fucked up, you know. Oh, I was 24 years old, I had no debts, I had no nothing, I had my apartment, everything was nice for me. And I started chasing this cocaine. It took me like 6 months and all my money was gone. But I'm a clever guy, I start selling cocaine instead. This is the solution. Now I got shitload of money. I'm working every day, I'm selling cocaine, I'm using cocaine, I'm never sleeping. I've never been more broke in my life. And I was like, yeah, but can I get like an advance? I just I sell this and then you get the money and like, oh fuck, now I'm really fucked. And I take some blanca loans, you know, like a call, can I have some money? And, yeah, sure. And like, oof. I was 25 years old and realized I cannot do this anymore. I have to change my work. That's going to be the solution because in this work, everybody's fucked up. I worked like 10 restaurants in 10 months and every restaurant, I was fucked up. I was using all the time. After a year of this running around, I went back to the first restaurant because, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for real. And here's my friends, here's my dealers, here's my the guy I sell to, this is it. And this is a normal day in my life, like back in 2002. I wake up in the morning around 2 p.m. and I'm determined not to use today at all. I go to job around 4, I'm a waiter. I eat a shitload of food. I start working, restaurant open at 5, 6 I start drinking my first beer, around 8 I realize that today is not the day I'm going to stop using cocaine, it's going to be tomorrow, but I still get my shit down, you know, I have this, so I'm not allowed to use more than once an hour before I stop work, you know, so like 8 o'clock, into the toilet, 9 o'clock, into the toilet, 10 o'clock, into the toilet, you set your watch after me, because boom, bam. And like a few months into that, I needed more alcohol. So I took like a box of wine on my way into my locker. So the cartoon of wine, 12 bottles. I went in there and I can only take once an hour, you know, it doesn't really last an hour. But not for me at least. I had to take shitloads because that's going to be a solution. So I think it's a really big one. I get so high, so I take wine. And I take half the bottle of wine, like, ooh, this will be. And then I go out working again. Like, 30 minutes in, like, oh, I'm getting drunk. So when the hour is over, I'm like, really drunk again. Like, I'm going, I need a bigger one. Take a bigger line. Oh, that was not a good idea. I need more wine. Now it's 9 o'clock, like, the restaurant closes at once, you know, like, 10, 11. But after 12, I'm allowed to do whatever I like. I can do how much coke I like. That's, after 12, this is night time, that's okay. Like. And then I go out to party, but this is a party for me. Sitting home, my girlfriend going to sleep. I'm sitting in the sofa, watching porn on a VHS. You remember these things? This was back in 2003, you know. It was like if you looked in porn on the computer, it was like a picture going, And then when you get down, you're like, fuck, she has a close-up, so I have to start over again. It really sucked, you know. Watching porn on the TV, you're like, TV porn, like, And I had my coke there with me, so I like, take a big line, and like, oh fuck, you're too much, need some alcohol. But alcohol is out in the kitchen, I'm not allowed to drink, and she doesn't know I'm using, so I go out to the kitchen. I go, I have a plan. I go, really slowly. And it takes me like 5 minutes to get to the kitchen, it's a small apartment, it's a 2-bedroom, a 1-bedroom apartment. You know, like, I had to have a lot of drinks now. Then I go back, and like, oof, I'm gonna go to sleep, I was just gonna watch a little bit more than. But then it wears off, like, now it's too late to go to sleep. So I take another line, like, fuck, now it's too high again, I have to go to the kitchen. Now I have to go even slower. And this was a party night, you know. Oh, I get so.
what I'm doing. At the end of 2002, I was like, yeah, it was a New Year's resolution. That would be the problem. I will not use anymore 2003. I actually didn't use for like 7 days, I think. You know, my record being clean from alcohol and drugs was 3 days, actually. From the period from I was 17 until I was 27. 3 days. My record of out of drugs was 10 days of my using time. I got to go into the details, but my life was unmanageable. It sucked. I couldn't do anything. I was sitting home in my girlfriend's house. I had loads of cocaine on me. I had some painkillers. I had some other things to get me up and down and everything, like everything I needed. And I was running to the toilet, taking more. But it didn't fucking work anymore. It didn't matter how much I took. It didn't matter how much mix or whatever. It did not work anymore. And I just wanted somebody to come up and shoot me, basically. Because this had been my solution. Even since I was 13 years old and find the first alcohol into this was my solution. It was the only thing that I had to make my life nice. Now that wasn't working as well. So I told my girlfriend, I'm a cocaine addict, I cannot stop. And I cried for like 8 hours straight that night. And I went to my mother and told her, I'm a cocaine person, addict, and I cannot stop. I went to my father and told him, I'm a cocaine addict, I cannot stop. I had no solution, I had no like plan on how to do this or anything. I just knew that this was not working anymore, and it was fucking killing me. I had so much debt, I had like 30,000 euros in debt to banks, to my stepfather, that I stole from him, from drug dealers, from criminals. I stole everything I saw. I sold cocaine. I worked all the time. I had money, but still I had all this debt. I couldn't fucking handle it anymore. And I really thought that my life was over. And it was just as boring as I thought it would be. And they forced me to go to open treatment. And I went to this open treatment, and I had been out of drugs for 2 weeks. When I came, they was like, yeah, good luck fixing me. That was my attitude to this therapist. Yeah, good luck. When I've been there for like a month, I started to lie to my therapist. And you know what? She believed me. You know what? I was happy because that meant I was smarter than my therapist. I was paying this woman to help me, and I was lying to her. But I was the smart guy in the room, you know? And I went there like for 6 months. I went and took urine samples and all this all the time. And after 6 months, I asked her, how much more urine samples do I need to take? She's like, you don't need to take any more now because it costs a shitload of money and you've been clean for 6 months. They also forced me to stop using alcohol because that apparently also was a drug. And I only stopped using alcohol because my girlfriend and my therapist is some mascopic conspiracy thing forced me to do it. I had no intention to stop using alcohol. I just give it 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever it takes until this heat is going down so I can start drinking again. So I was not drinking, I was not taking the urine sample, so that has to mean that I'm fixed. Yeah, I'm fixed. So I stopped going to therapy and I felt the urge to show the world that I'm still the best, so I went to school. Had top straight A's all the way because I wanted them to love me. And I thought that would help me if somebody loved me more and showed that was good. I went to university, to the Royal Institute of Technology, to study applied physics because they promised me it was the most demanding course in Sweden in college. And I thought, if I can do that, surely people will love me enough. So I will be happy again. And you know what? It didn't help. And the only thing had changed was that I stopped using cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. I didn't change anything else. And I continued to lie to my girlfriend. And one day, she came. She noticed my lie. It was that porn thing again, you know, it had to been a couple of years now, so now you could download porn to computers, and then you can actually watch it. It took some time as preparation, but then it was there. But the problem with that was it was fucking the computer, so you could find it as well, you know, like, what is this stupid? And she was much brighter than me, and she found my porn, and she was really angry. And, you know, she had went to codependent treatment. So this time she said, I do not tolerate this shit. You have to make a change. And I was like, what? So we had to go to couple treatment. You know what they said? You had to go to 12-step meetings. And I said, yeah, I can do that. So I was running around my like meeting manual, NA, AA, whatever it was, and I was going to different meetings all the time because I didn't want anybody to know me and see me and like ask something from me. One of these meetings, I saw a poster on the wall that said, CA meeting, Cocaine Anonymous, Thursdays, 7 o'clock. And I was like, CA? Is it meeting for me? So I waited a couple of weeks, don't want to rush it, and I went to the meeting, and it was two guys there. One has been sober for 3 months, the other guys were planning on getting sober, and I've been sober for... I've been sober for over a year, so I was the best. And I thought, I can do this shit. I had no fucking plan of doing any steps or anything. I was sitting in that meeting, I was coming there every week, not every week, but my attention was every week. And I was waiting for my time to share, and there was like, there were 3-4 guys who were sharing for 20 minutes or something, and I was just whining, complaining, telling about my shitty week, and like, wow, this is actually working, I feel better now. And I was looking at the steps at the wall, like, step one, my life become unmanageable. Yeah, check. Came to believe, no. Well, it will come to me eventually. But it was one guy, he had long hair, he was really cool, and it was different. Like, he had a good job, and he had a cool wife, and he had money, and had all this shit, and I was like, I wanted to be his friend. So I asked him, tried to be his friend, and he asked me, do you need a sponsor? And I said, yeah, sure, we can start that way. And I went to his house, and he took from, I thought, now we're going to have some cookies, and we're going to talk about my life, and he took some stupid little book, and he started to read. Like, and I was like, you taking notes? And I was taking notes, and like, we sat for 2 hours reading. Like, yeah, this is good fun, let's see you again next week. Like, is he stupid? I thought we're going to be friends, you know? And he told me to do some things and call him, and I called him, and like, I thought he wanted me to call him, like, because we're going to be friends, but he was like, how do you feel? How do you do it? So I decided I don't need him as a friend, so fuck this. But at the end of 2005, something happened. This really cool guy, he applied for something called Regional Assembly, some CA thing. And we got it to Sweden. So we had the first Regional Assembly 2006 in Sweden, in February. And I was there, like, people were coming in, we were doing something greater than ourselves all of a sudden. Well, we were planning something, we were building something, we were doing t-shirts, we were doing flyers, we were like doing the hotel, and I'm a part of something. I'm still fucked up in the head though. And like, CA was really young, we had 2 meetings and like nobody, some, very few had got what this really was about. But I came into this hotel and like, people were coming from all over the world, from Holland and England and Germany and Hong Kong, and they all was like really cool. They came, hi, how are you, blah blah blah, everything that I wanted to be. They were exactly like this cool guy I wanted to be my friend. They're like, such a bad luck, some people got it and some people don't got it. And I was starting to attend these different meetings there. I was sitting at a chair like this with some crazy fucking DJ living in some field somewhere in some, I don't know, going around Europe doing crazy things. And he's like, he was beaming, he was so happy, he was speaking about God and the steps and all these things. Like, what the fuck? It was really confusing for me. And then another guy, like, a scout guy, had a workshop on the 12 steps. I didn't understand anything. And he's like, there were like 40 people in the room, and I think 3 guys had done the step, and they're have any questions?
It was dead silent.
Okay, we didn't have the pose. Anybody in this room doesn't have a sponsor? And I raised my hand. I was the only guy raising my hand in that room, and I thought, no, I regret this, I didn't want to do it. And he said, well, I'm going to speak to you after this meeting. And I said, oh, fuck. And he came up to me like, how come you don't have a sponsor? Oh, I don't know. He's like, how long have you been sober? I've been sober for 2 years at the time. So I told him, 3 years. I'm going to show you, like, I got this down. Like. Then he asked me a question that changed my life forever. He has, like, looked me into the eye and said, like, but are you happy? It's like with somebody like kicking me in the stomach, like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? I've been sober for 2 years. Do you know how fucking great I am? And you asking about happiness? Yeah, and he said, I'm going to get you a sponsor. And he got me a sponsor. Coming from England to Sweden, carrying the message, all these people, and got me a sponsor. And at this time, I went to the sponsor, and I actually wanted to hear what he had to say. And I listened when he read the book to me. And I did the step. It took me 2 months, and I've been sober for over 2 years. And my life has been piss. And now, in 2 months, I did the steps. And I've been reading this book over and over again. I know everything. I read the Bible just to fuck with people that quoted the Bible, you know. So I got this. So when we came to the questions, I was prepared. Like, are you now willing to believe that there might be something bigger than yourself? And I, yeah, but, and like, it's a yes or no question. And yeah, I heard a yes, so we're moving on. And I was like, huh. When we came to step three, you're now willing to, you know, I went down on my knees and did my third step prayer, and I felt something. I don't know what it was, but I felt something. I came back with my list, and we looked for my resentments, my fears, and I come to my last fear, which was not being good enough. I had understood the concept of God, and that God is almighty. He does not do mistakes. And He created me, which have to mean that I'm fucking perfect. If you want to argue me on that, just, I'll be here all weekend. But it's the only way it can be. If God is almighty and He created me, I'm going to be exactly as God wanted me to be. Can't be any other way. And I started to laugh when I looked at this, my last fear. And right there and that time, I understood that I decide if I'm going to be happy or miserable. I decide how I'm going to feel inside. Nobody else can decide that but me. And I truly understood it right there and then, that I am responsible for my own life. Like, it was the relief. I was so happy. I tried to change all of you all the time, and it was a hard work, like managing all you guys and trying to you to do this. And the only thing I had to fix was myself. And I can do that. I can fix myself. That's not the problem. I went home. I did my 6 and 7 step. More to God. And for the first time, I felt something. When this crazy scouch guy asked me if I was happy, I felt hope. There might be a solution to this. When this happened to me, I did my 5th step, I felt faith. I knew this will work. I fucking knew it. And I had done my 6th and 7th step, I felt the courage to actually change my life. Because I realized that I'm responsible for my life, I still had the wrong girlfriend, I still had a shitty life, I still was at the Royal Institute of Technology doing some stupid course in physics that I don't fucking care about. I still had all the shit in my life, but I had the courage now to change it as well. And just a couple of weeks after this, reading your assembly in February, doing the steps February, March, in April, May, I went to CA UK Brighton 2006, and I went into a room as this, with these old people. Everybody was so happy, and everybody was so free, and the tension, the excitement, and I could, like, I felt that I was a part of it, and I knew what they had, and I wanted to give everything I had. I didn't sleep the whole fucking weekend. I just drank Red Bull. I went to every marathon meeting. I missed my plane home, but I didn't fucking care. Because I had a solution. And the courage to change it. I went home to my girlfriend and said, I'm sorry. I love you very much, but not this way. We have to stop. I gave her the apartment. I dropped out of college. I told my mom, like, I'm sorry, mom, I love you very much, but I have to do this. I lived in a really shitty apartment. I worked in a restaurant, got some money. I went to Thailand, worked as a diver and a climber. But I was happy for the first time in my life. I was going to the beach doing my things, and I was like, truly, truly happy. I went to Hong Kong to visit some CA guys in Hong Kong. I went back. I went to a cruise in LA to meet some people to celebrate CA 25 years. And they told me I should go to a retreat in England the year after. I went to a retreat in England the year after. I went to a new convention. Like, I have the solution again. The one I'd lost with its, when cocaine didn't work anymore. But now, this time, the solution was the 12 steps, the recovery, the CA. And the more I did of it, the better it got. Not just this, that the cocaine fucking betrayed me. This just keeps on coming, you know. Now I've been sober for 12 years, I'm standing here again, and it's still getting better and better and better. It's just because I continue to do these things, this really simple program. And I have this fellowship all around the world that wants to help me, that I want to help, and I have everything I need here. I had a problem this weekend that don't have so much with steps and any things. I got help now this weekend from a guy. I have a sponsor in the US. I have sponsees. Like, do you know how fortunate we are? Do you realize how fortunate we are that we have this program of recovery? They have all these people from around the world that just want to help us. They have the exact same problem as we have. They have the exact same solution as we have. And all of them just want to help you and me. And I want to help everybody. It's not many people that have this fellowship in the world. I promise you. We are the lucky ones. I was listening to Eric this morning. I don't know if he's here. It's a really good workshop. And he said, like, CA is really big in Phoenix, and we have all these meetings. When I came to Sweden to CA, we had one meeting. It was not very big. And I met Terry Murphy at this cruise, and he was so, oh, I envy you that you got to build this fellowship now in Sweden, that you have to be there from the beginning. I was like, stupid cunt. If I had what you guys had, you not know what you asked for. But you know what? He was right. Now we have 50 meetings in Sweden. We have it in 12 different cities. Yeah. We had our own conventions for 6 straight years, something. We had 3 retreats, the same as I went to there. You know what? We're going to have the World Convention in Sweden 2019. And I have the privilege to be a part of that. From the most just... this few of us envying you guys and like wanted to be like you, and I was sending emails to the World Service Office, you need to help us. I'm like, with what? I don't know. It was just a random SOS signal. I just wanted to have. I was sober, yes. I was recovered, yes, but I did not realize what this is, what CA World is, what the fellowship is, and how this is working. And like CA UK is giving me personally so much, is giving CA Sweden so much. There's been hundreds of people coming over to Sweden
to spread the message, to help the suffering addicts in Sweden. And we would not be where we are today without the help of CA UK. And I'm like truly, truly grateful, thankful for all the help I've been given from this fellowship. Thank you. And as we growing now, I hope and think that we will try to help the new fellowships coming around in Europe, trying to make this bigger, better, just everything it needs to be. But it's still not easy. It says you have to practice this principle in all of your affairs. It's not like I got something that day that worked for me the whole life. No. I understood that day that I am responsible for my own life. But the work I have to put into it is a continuous work. It's continued every day since then. And it has to continue again. But I don't mind because my life is just getting better and better and better. And I am happy. I am happy. Where is this Scouch guy? Is he here? I am happy. And it's really hard like to be always on a spiritual ladder all the time. But I try. But when I'm in a convention or a retreat or something, you need to take the moment. It's not so often you have the privilege to be in a room with thousands of guys that have the same problem as you, the same solution as you, that loves you, all of them. So use this weekend now, use this convention to meet some new people, to get some help to some problem you didn't know you had. I don't care if you've been sober for 2 days, like 30 years. If you leave here without a new contact, a new number, a new Facebook friend, you have not done this right. Go out there and meet some new people. Help a newcomer. Help an old-timer. Hey, help somebody. Get the connection. Practice these principles in all of your affairs. This is a unique opportunity to go to the next level in your recovery, in my recovery. Use it. Because there is a solution, and we can recover. This is working. It's working for millions and millions of people all over the world for so many years. And it's sometimes slowly and sometimes fast, but it has always come to us if we work for it. And this is an opportunity and a chance to do it fast this weekend. Use it. And I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you to Richard.